Okay, the Gemara tell us that there are seven mitzvahs b'nei nayach. That's the number that's well known. There's avodah zarah, gilvay, shfichas damim, gezel, eiv menachai, birkas hashem, and dinim. Those are the seven mitzvahs b'nei nayach. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf and Ches says there's actually an eighth one. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, akum shashavas chayev misa, that there's an iser on a goy to keep Shabbos. And it's lav dafka Shabbos, any day of the week. To keep a Shabbos on any day of the week is an iser. The Gemara says, afilu b'yayim sheni. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Akum shashavas chayev misa, but afilu b'yayim sheni.
It's also to learn Torah, is also.
That's the very next Gemara.
What does it mean even to keep a Shabbos on a Monday?
Meaning to take a day of the week and to be kaveya that it's going to have the halachas of Shabbos.
Really?
Is
It's very surprising because I've always heard Torah that because a guy keeps a day and a night.
You can hear that Torah today. That's not sure what we're going to talk about.
That's why it's a steward to that part.
No. No, it's not. We'll see.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No problem. So, Akum Shabbos Chayev Misa, that's another mitzvah that the B'nai Noyach have to contend with, Sanhedrin and Chesam and Beis. And the Gemara discusses, so why isn't it included in the list? The Gemara says the list is more on Leisas, this is sort of an assay. But al kapanim, this is a halacha, and it's brought down by the Rambam that a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. The Rambam expands it a little bit. The Rambam says he's not allowed to keep Shabbos or a Yom Tif, because any such thing would be considered like a chidush das, and that's not allowed. So the Parshas Drachim es hakasha. This is one of those classic Parshas Drachim pieces. We've talked about him before. The Parshas Drachim likes to take inyanim about the avos, stories in Bereishis or Shemois, and apply sort of lamdish attests to the stories. So the well-known Gemara, Yuma Dav Chav Ches, Avraham Avinu was Mekayim called her Akula, Ad Shalei Nitna, V'afilu Erev Tevshilin, Shenemar, Ekev Asher Avshama Avraham B'Koyli, that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah, and Chazal say, or the Rishonim say that, but Pashas, that means that Yitzchak and Yaakov, also the obvious from Mekayim, call it Torah Kula. So the Parshas Drachim asks, so Bishlam, most of the mitzvahs of the Torah, you want to say the obvious from Mekayim, even though they weren't Mechoyiv to, they weren't officially Jewish, the Torah wasn't given to them, but they kept the mitzvahs anyway. Okay, Tefillin, Tzitzis, Sukkah, Lulav, all of these mitzvahs, or keeping kosher, there's no harm if you're really a ben noyach, but you keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, fine. So you're doing something that you were not obligated to, like the Tefnei Mishuras Hadin. But what about Shabbos and Yom Tov, for that matter? Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you're not officially Jewish, then you're not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's not voluntary. It's an avera. Akum Shabbos Chayav Misa. The Gemara says it's learned out. I don't know if I mentioned the pasuk. It's learned from a pasuk in Parashat Shemos where it says Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu. It's not the Pshuta Shemikah. The Pshuta Shemikah was talking about how the planet Earth will not take a break. But the Gemara says that we learn from Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu that a Ben Noach is not allowed to keep a Shabbos. So the kasha is, how could Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov keep the Shabbos if they were officially B'nai Noach? That's the Parshas Drachim's kasha. With this kasha, he wants to say, he wants to use this as a proof that they really weren't B'nai Noach. And he has a whole discussion about that. Were they Yotzei Michlal B'nai Noach? Are they considered B'nai Noach? Are they not considered B'nai Noach? And this seemingly would be a proof that they're not considered B'nai Noach. But to those that maintain that, no, if it's before Matan Torah, everyone's considered B'nai Noach. So this is the dilemma that you have to confront. How could they try to keep the Torah, which on the one hand means you're keeping Shabbos, but at the same time not violate the rule of Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu, which says that if you're not in the midst of Shabbos, you're not allowed to keep the Shabbos. Right. So it's basically like a riddle. How could you keep the Shabbos and not keep the Shabbos at the same time? So in a riddle-ish way, I think there's one very well-known answer that the Chemda Shlomo says. It's said over B'Shem Nechsam Sefer also. Probably they both said it. I think they were friends at the same time. But the Chemda Shlomi writes this, that he has a very geshmak achap, that how could you both keep the Shabbos and not keep the Shabbos at the same time? Very simple. Where tzitzis? What does tzitzis do for you? Tzitzis is like a random mitzvah out of left field. What does that do for us? because you go out wearing a baguette with strings dangling from the baguette. Now, the strings dangling from the baguette are a masa, that's carrying. It's not part of a baguette. If I would attach strings to a, you know, to my jacket, which is not chayim and tzitzis, and walk out to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that would be called doing a malacha. But the mitzvah of tzitzis makes it into part of the baguette, because an Arba Kamvis is chayiv in these tzitzis strings, so that makes the tzitzis strings part of the baguette, and then it's not a masa on Shabbos. So Avram Vinu went out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos wearing an Arba Kamvis with tzitzis strings. And with his right thumb, he went, Manushach, if I'm a Yid, so then these strings are bottled to the beged because I'm chayim in the midst of tzitzis, and then it's not considered a masa, so I'm allowed to carry it in the shadab. But then with his left thumb, he says, but if I'm a goy, so then I'm not chayim in tzitzis, and I'm also not allowed to keep the Shabbos, I'm not chayim in tzitzis, and now these strings are a masa, so I'm not carrying on Shabbos, I'm doing malacha. So those strings were a malacha al hatzad that he's not a yid, but they're not. But it's not a malacha on the tzad that he is. So like that, he straddles the fence. He's both keeping Shabbos and not keeping Shabbos. I mean, cheshish for the suffix about whether he's considered a ben noyach or a yisrael. And being actually, thank you very much. Actually, l'chaim shneim like that.
Like the game. That's the does not kneel, right?
Oh, right. You're right.
Well, what's the loophole of keeping Shabbos? Strings, you can say.
If you carry.
What?
You carry.
No, what's the loophole for Shabbos to be Mekayim
Shabbos? If he's a Yid.
Right, because if he's a Yid, then the strings are bottled to the beggar because they're a key mitzvah tzitzis.
I'm talking about to be Shomer Shabbos.
He's being Shomer Shabbos because it's not called carrying if it's bottled to your beggar. Right. Yid and are allowed to wear tzitzis in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
Yeah, I get it.
Just
has to do one
avera,
so to speak,
right.
And then he's
right. One malacha avoids the
yom elayin. We'll make a bracha below kavana, and then it's the shaila if you're carrying or not. Because I mean, you're being the mitzvah. There's a shaila that if you do something below kavana, you really mekayim.
I mean, the mitzvah without kavana. Yeah, the mitzvah right. Without kavana.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Who taught the Bnei Noyach the Shiva mitzvahs?
They're supposed to figure it out themselves.
The guy?
Yeah. They're supposed to know it for themselves, and their leaders among them should, you know, those that are smarter should share it with them. Okay, so that's one eitzah, I would say, you know, very much like along the lines of trying to come up with a chap, a riddle. There's a similar one, which the Mechas Chinuch says, but it's not quite as good. You'll see in a moment. The Mechas Chinuch says that maybe the eitzah was they did malacha with a chatzi shir. Like, let's say they were kaitzer, they cut some wheat from the ground, but you learn in the Mishnah that you're only chayav achatas if you kaitzer kegregeres, the size of a fig. If you kaitzer less than that, so that's not a malacha day raisa, but pashtas. So by being kaitzer a chatzi shir, so like that, I'm still keeping Shabbos. If I'm a yid, I'm still keeping Shabbos because I didn't do a full shir. But on the tzad that I'm a goy, there's a Rambam that says that all shiurim only apply to shiurim are learned from Malachim Hashem Sinai, and they only apply to Yidden. There's no shiurim for Goyim. Therefore, Lamashal, on the Isser of Gezel, one of the Shavim Sinai, is Gezel, he's liable even for Pachas B'Shava Pruta, because there's no din shiurim by Goyim. So Lagabi, the Isser of Goyim V'Layla Lo Yishpoisu, that Ben Noach is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So the Chatzi Shir is also called a Malacha. So he didn't keep Shabbos. He wasn't over the Isra being Malay Shmaisu. But the Gabi the Yisrael, it's not considered a malacha because it's Pachas Mikashir. There's Allah Hamashim Sinai of Shir. The Mechas Chinuch suggests that Eitza. Just it's a nice chop, you know, one that allows you to both, you know, in Hilchas Yisrael, you're keeping Shabbos, in Hilchas Akum, you're not keeping Shabbos. The only thing is that you're not in Hilchas Yisrael, you're not really keeping Shabbos because you're not allowed to do a Pachas Mikashir. At the very least, it's an Issa D'Rabbanon. And that famous Gemara that we started with, that the Avraham Avinu HaYimakayim called to Arkula, Va'afilu Erev Tavshilin, means to say that he kept even D'Rabbanons. So if he kept D'Rabbanons, he shouldn't do a Chatzis Shir Malacha either. Okay, so that's a little bit of a weakness in that second pshat. And then we come to what's maybe the most well-known and widely talked about answer, and this is what Izzy was mentioning before. The Hafla says that he thinks that the solution to the problem is as follows. We know that Shabbos starts on Friday night and goes until it gets dark, meaning it starts when it gets dark on Friday, and it continues until it gets dark on Saturday. Who said that that's how you define a day, a Shabbos? That's because it says in the Torah, "Vayhi er, vayhi vayker." So we learn from there that the yom is holich achar halayla. Also, it says me'er about erev tishpesu shabbatchem by Yom Kippur. From there, also we learn that the yom is holich achar halayla. But those are all that's a chiddush. Those psukim are a chiddush. Gzeiros hakasav, that the Torah's day goes from night to night. But without that gzeiros hakasav, you would say the more natural way to think of a day is that it goes from morning to morning. So it's mistaber that in Hilchas B'nei Noyach, the day goes from morning to morning. The iser then of Ben Noyach Shashavas is to be sheves from Saturday morning to Sunday morning, or from Sunday morning to Monday morning to Tuesday morning, like we said before, it doesn't matter which day of the week, but it will be the 24 hours from sunrise to sunrise, not from sunset to sunset. So first of all, that would be the pashtus. It's the more natural way to think of a day if you don't have a gezeiros hakasav to the contrary. But he also mentions that if you think about this pasuk, the pasuk that from which Rabbi Yochanan learned out, Akam Shashavas Chayav Misa, the pasuk is Yoyim V'Layla Lo Yishmaisu. So that's what the pasuk says, Yoyim Den Layla. So the Isser Shvisa for Akam is a Yoyim followed by a Layla. So therefore, the Haflah says there was no problem for the Avos because they could keep Shabbos from Friday night till Matzah Shabbos, but just make sure you did Malacha on Erev Shabbos, so you weren't Shavuos the whole Friday, and you'll do Malacha on Matzah Shabbos, so you're not Shavuos the whole Saturday, and you're not Ivering Yom V'Layla Lo Yishmaisu. See, the Haflah says that he thinks that would be a very Geshmaka Pshat. To answer this Kasha of the Parshas Drachim, how could the Avites be Mekayim, they're, on the one hand they're keeping Shabbos, on the other hand, they're not violating Yom V'Layla Lo Yishmaisu, they should do Malacha Erev Shabbos and Matzah Shabbos.
So if a guy keeps Shabbos Friday night, it's not a problem?
Just Friday night? Right, not a problem.
Not a problem.
Right.
We have the Seventh-day Adventists.
I think they do it that way.
The
daytime.
Why do they think they do?
But then he says, but he's Meir a problem. See, it's a little bit complicated. There's a rule in the Gemara Sanhedrin, in the Sugis of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach. How do we decide? All the Shabbos B'nei Noyach are found in Bereishis. They're not written out clearly, but they're all based. I mean, some are Parshas Noyach that we just read. You have the Isser Ritzicha is pretty clear, and this Eved Menachai is pretty clear. The rest of them are not really so clear. But the Gemara makes drushes from Pesukim, mostly in Parshas Noyach or elsewhere in Bereishis, to teach us the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach. Okay, but now those mitzvahs, if they learn from a pasuk in Noyach or Lech Lecha, Vayera, so they're part of the Torah. So how did we decide that they're only mitzvahs for the Bnei Noyach and not for Yisrael? So the Gemara gives some rules. The Gemara says, Kol mitzvah she memra v'nishneis. If it was said in Bereishis and then it was repeated later, so then it was meant as a mitzvah for the Bnei Noyach. So for example, if the Isser Ritzicha is written in Parshas Noyach, and it's written again, where do you have it? In Yisrael, and you have it in a lot of places. But for example, in Yisrael, you have the Isser Ritzicha. So then we say that the one in Bereishis is for the Bnei Noyach. When it says it later in the Torah, that's for Yisrael. But a mitzvah that was Nemra V'loi Nishneis, if you have a mitzvah that was written in Bereishis, but that's the only time that it's written, then Li Yisrael Nemra V'loi L'Bnei Noyach. And what's the classic example of that? That's Gid Hanasha. Gid Hanasha is written in Parshas Vayishlach. That's the only time in the Torah that it says they say Gid Hanasha. So why isn't it one in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach? Because it was Nemra V'loi Nishneis. Since it was only said in Bereishis, but it was never repeated, so that's Lisrol Nemra V'loi Lo Ibzik Kachavim. Frek Toisves, Sanhedrin Daf Nuntes. Toisves says, this mitzvah of Yoyim V'layla Lo Yishpoisu, the mitzvah, thou shalt not keep the Shabbos. Don't keep Shabbos. Where does it say that in the Torah? It only says it once. In Parashas Noyach. It's Nemra, V'loi Nishneis. So why is it a mitzvah for the Bnei Noyach? Adrab, it should be a mitzvah for Yisrael. According to that formula, that call mitzvah Shenemra, V'loi Nishneis, Li Yisrael, Nemra, V'loi L'Bnei Noyach. So this Isser, it sounds like a funny kasha, obviously. But that says it's kasha. That why don't we say that the Isser of Yom V'loi V'loi Yishpoisu goes on the Yisrael and not on the Bnei Noyach? So Tosfos answers, what's, I think, the obvious answer, what we would all say. Well, that's preposterous. Of course the Lo Yishmaisu can't be going on Yisrael, because it says 100 other times in the Torah that we should keep the Shabbos. So obviously the Torah doesn't want us to not keep the Shabbos, because we're supposed to, yes, keep the Shabbos. So who's the Torah talking to when it says Lo Yishmaisu? That must be the Mnei Noyach.
Maybe it means don't keep an extra Shabbos.
I hear.
Taisa
doesn't consider that possibility. Right, you have that anyway.
Yeah.
Good point.
The only
voice
days that
No, I'm not aware that there's such a distinction. That is Nemra in Bereshis, and it's not Nishneis. It's in Bereshis and Noyach, but it's not Nishneis after Matan Torah. So that's a Nemra Velei Nishneis, and therefore it's the Yisrael Velei Levenei Noyach. And that's another good example, like Yiran Asha.
What about Nati? Velei Nishneis? So that should be only for Yisrael, not for Nishneis.
Well, okay, that's a different category.
That's really... But Nishneis has to be in the second place, not in Bereshis?
I think so. I think in the aftermath, it's not really telling totally in Bereshis, it's totally on Matan Torah.
It's twice in Bereshis.
I think so.
How's the guy supposed to know the Shevet Mitzvot?
That's what I asked before.
Google.
I think it's supposed to be right. No, it's supposed to be sichlis.
Is it our job to teach them?
I don't think so. I think they're supposed to know it on their own. I shouldn't answer that so fast. I don't really know, but my hunch is that they're supposed to understand it on their own. And even if you can't expect every individual, but society is supposed to have leaders who are smarter, who are visionary, and they're supposed to understand these things on their own.
If they're over it, they're chayiv misa, right?
Right. Okay. Only in a base in Shal Yisrael.
Who enforces it?
A base in Shal Yisrael.
They're gonna go kill the guy.
Yeah. If there would be, yes. No, I take that back. I don't know. The whole sugi of the Shemus Bnei Noyach is there in Sanhedrin, but we're not, it's not just that we're not covering that today. I really can't. I don't know that Indian well. But we're going to talk about the Indian that I can help share a little bit about. So on this mitzvah, so this was the Eitz of the Hafla. The Hafla, he writes this in his Sefer Panim Yafos on which is on Chumash. He writes this in Parshas Noach on the mitzvah that the Yom V'Layla Yishpaisu is going on. It means from morning to morning. So I lost my place. Right? I was bringing in the Taisis. The Taisis in Sanhedrin was bothered. Yom V'Lay Lo Yishpaisu is Nemra V'Lay Nishneis. So why is it for Nei Noyach? It should be for us.
Right.
Teretz is, it can't be for us because the Teretz gives us a mitzvah of Shabbos. So that's how we know that's going on the Nei Noyach. So now for the Hafla, so you read the Taisis and it sounds very geschmack. So much so that it said we all thought of this Teretz on our own, right? The Kash of Taisis was preposterous. What? Lo Yishmaisu should be going on us? It can't be going on us. Of course not. We have a mitzvah of Shabbos, right? But basically, that means what Taisis is saying is, why is it so obvious that Lo Yishmaisu is not for us, it's for the Goyim? Because you can't possibly have a mitzvah of Lo Yishmaisu and a mitzvah of Keep Shabbos at the same time. No one can keep both of those mitzvahs. They're mutually exclusive. But the Hafla just came up with a chap that makes them not mutually exclusive. He said, no, there's different zmanim. The mitzvah to keep Shabbos, that's me erev ad erev. The mitzvah of lo yishmaisu, that's me boiker ad boiker. And you could keep both. That's what the Ovis did. So if so, then Taisa's kasha comes back. How do we know that lo yishmaisu is not going on yidden? It's written in Bereshit. It's never repeated. There's a rule that a mitzvah shanem of a lo yishmaisu is supposed to be li Yisrael. So how do we know this mitzvah is not for Yisrael? Yisrael have a mitzvah to keep the Shabbos? Yeah, that means my Erev at Erev. But we could also have a mitzvah of Lo Yishmaisu to do Malach on Masa Shabbos, to do Malach on Erev Shabbos. So how do we know now that the Lo Yishmaisu, Taisa's Kasha comes back? That's the Kasha of the Hafla.
It's a Shish Shem Tavid. So it does say
you
should do
Malach. Okay, interesting. But you could be Oyved Sunday, starting Sunday morning, without doing Malach on Masa Shabbos. You could be Oyved Friday, Thursday night, without doing Malach
on
Friday morning. So the Hafla says that he says that the reason why it's really mutually exclusive, we can't possibly have a mitzvah of Lo Yishmaisu, because even though for an ordinary Shabbos it wouldn't be impossible, because we could do Malach on Matzah Shabbos and do Malach on Erev Shabbos, but what if Matzah Shabbos or Erev Shabbos was Yom Kippur? What if you have Shtei Kedushei Smuchei Zeh L'Zeh, Shabbos and Yom Kippur next to each other? he picks Yom Kippur because Yom Tif, you know, there's different rules, Malachas and Chol Nefesh, but Yom Kippur. What if Yom Kippur falls out Samach LeShabbos? So that's a situation where you can't possibly keep Shabbos and keep the Lo Yishmoisu, meaning you'll satisfy the Lo Yishmoisu by doing Malach on Matzah Shabbos. It's not going to work. Matzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Now, so it doesn't slug up his teretz for the Ovid. How did the Ovid do it? Because this is a very far-fetched scenario, and okay, in the day, as a matter of fact, so far-fetched that it never ever happens.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Right? Our calendar is set up deliberately to avoid this. We never have Yom Kippur, not on Friday and not on Sunday.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why. That's one of the considerations that goes into Lo Yadu Reish. The calendar is built around this rule, but that's all nowadays. That we're Mekadesh Al Pi HaCheshbon, but theoretically, so it's easy to say that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, they never had Shabbos Yom Kippurim Hasmuchim Zeh L'Zeh. But in the Torah, said in the when we're trying to interpret the mitzvahs of the Torah and figure out who the Lo Yishmoisu is going on, it's muchach that it is possible for a Shabbos and Yom Kippur to be fought Hasmuchim Zeh L'Zeh because we have some drushas that teach us what to do in such a scenario. He mentions one of the drushas. He says in the Yushalmi, it learns out from Kala Oise Boy Malacha Mois Yumas Boy Veloy Boyu Vachaveroi Mikan, that if you have a Bein Hashmashais between Shabbos and Yom Kippur and somebody does Malacha, he's Pater. Mm-hmm. Fascinating Halacha. Again, the teichen of the halacha is not important for us. But again, that boi v'chaveri means if it's Shabbos and it's another kedusha at the same time. So if you might have thought that if it's bein hashmashos between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so you have a suffix now, whether it's Shabbos or it's Yom Kippur. But either way, there's an issa malacha. So you should be chayef for doing malacha. We learn out that no, boi v'loi boi v'chaveri, that bein hashmashos, you're part of doing malacha. So okay, it's an interesting halacha, but the halacha says, I'm not interested in the actual halacha. What I'm interested in is that there's a drasha in the Torah that teaches us about that scenario, which means that in the Torah considered it theoretically possible to have a Shabbat and a Yom Kippurim smuchim zeh l'zeh. And if that's true, then it can't be that Klal Yisrael is expected to keep Lo Yishmoisu. Because in that scenario, you can't keep Shabbos and keep Lo Yishmoisu. 999 times out of 1,000, you'll be able to. But there's a theoretical possibility that you won't be able to keep both Shabbos and Lo Yishmoisu. And that's a raya that Lo Yishmoisu is not set for Klal Yisrael, it's set for the Goyim.
You mean, Kadosh Al Pi Ariyeh, it could have been a very hechetimtzu that it comes out on Sunday,
right? It could happen. Right? You know, I mean, the Gemara says that they, even when they were Kadosh Al Pi Ariyeh, they tried very hard to avoid it. That was one of the things that they would be Ma'ayim Ala Edim for. But again, but it's at least theoretically possible, and you see in the Torah that the Torah considers such a possibility. Then the Haflah has a nice Hesafa, which is a little bit simple. It's not doesn't involve his whole kasha and teretz with the Yom Kippur, but just this vart of Tosfos that how do we know that Lo Yishmoisu is going on the Goyim and not on the Yidden from the fact that the Yidden have a mitzvah Shabbos? That's right, that we don't have the Issa of Lo Yishmoisu. The Afla says, this is how I read the Siddur. Shabbos Shachris, we say in the Shemayin Esav, Hashem didn't give Shabbos to the Goyim. The Gam, and also, what's the vegam? It sounds like it's the same thing again, right? We said it's just another word for it. What's the vegam? He says, no. The first line, or two lines, is that Hashem didn't give them the mitzvah of Shabbos. Okay, they don't have the mitzvah. Let it be a rishus. No, vegam also, it's usher for them. Not just Hashem didn't give them the mitzvah, but it's also an isser. Akum sheshavas chayev misa lo yishpaisu. How do you know? Maybe not. Maybe it's a mitzvah shenema v'loy nishneis. Maybe this is not for them. No, the raya is, what's the next line? Since you gave us the Shabbos, so the lo yishpaisu can't go on us. If it's not going on us, it must be going on them. So that's the raya that v'gam b'nuchasa le'yishkinu areilim. That's how he touches up the tefillah. Malkohanim, his teretz to the kasha. So again, so we started off with this kasha, the Parshas Drachim's kasha. How could you reconcile, you know, what happened with the avos that they were being mekayim the Torah, so they were keeping Shabbos, but they were considered b'nei noyach, so they weren't allowed to keep the Shabbos. How could you keep the Shabbos and not keep the Shabbos at the same time? So you had one eitzah, the Chemda Shleimai, with the tzitzis, you had the Mechatz Chinuch's eitzah with the Chatzishir, the Parshas Zerachim's Eitza with different Zmanim.
That
No, no, he's not bringing a raya. He's teaching up Pshat in the Siddur. He's giving us a better understanding of what we mean when we say this in the Siddur. That these,
where's that from in the Siddur?
It's in Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos.
The source of that?
I think Anshe Knesset Zagdaila. Yeah, presumably Anshe Knesset Zagdaila.
Why don't we say Mitoch Lailashma Abalashma? If the Goyim are going to be Shemoneh Shabbos, maybe they'll start doing the other mitzvahs too.
Okay, maybe on our own we would have, but it's Xeris HaKosov. Torah says that they're not allowed. The Rambam gives a heads for the Rambam says, Mishim Chidush Das. So, okay, so these answers, I would say the three answers that we said up till this point, they sound very much like, you know, not the kinds of considerations that someone would really make, like Aliba de Hilchasa, that... like I used the word before, riddle. Like it's really more. It's not so much that we're trying to figure out lemaisa what did the avos do, but in a lumdisha sense, is it possible to be miyashev these different considerations, these different gemaras? But lo and behold, I was shocked to see that there's a Chuvus Rebbe Akiva Eiger where he really was handling halacha lemaisa. He was dealing with the halacha lemaisa issue, and he was using this hafla with all the steps of it to consider a shayla halacha lemaisa. Now, this piece of Rebbe Akiva Eiger is in his Shas Teshuvos, it's Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph, but the part that's negeya to our topic, to our shir, is the last paragraph in the tshuva and then something that he added afterwards in a hashmata. But I think you can't, if I'm already mentioning Tshuva Kuf Chaf Aleph, so there's like an asterisk next to this Tshuva because there is a extraordinary story that happened involving the Tshuva. After the Tshuva was written, involving the Tshuva. So I want to tell over the story of the Tshuva, and then I'm going to tell over a little bit the actual, the main part of the discussion of the Tshuva, and then we'll, in a little while, get back to the part that's going to get to our topic. Rabbi Kivega wrote a Tshuva to a Rav in a city called Hasanput, which is, or it's a town or a city, I'm not sure, in Lita. At the end of the tshuva, so there's a note from Rabbi Kivager's son. The Shalos HaTshuvos Rabbi Kivager was put out by his children, and one of his sons was named Rabbi Avram Eiger, and he puts a note over here. He says, I have to clarify. I have to clear the air because of the confusion that's been brought about because Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov lied about what happened with this tshuva. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov is one of the Gedalei Acharonim. He was one of the Gedalei Talmidei Hagra and very highly regarded. He has a Sefer Pasa Shulchan, which is one of the premier works on Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, Hilchas Mitzvos Tzaliyos Ba'aretz. Earlier in the year, when we were talking a little bit about Shemitah, I think we quoted from the Pasa Shulchan, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. He also wrote a sefer called Taklan Chadatin, which is a pirush on the Yishalmi Maseches Shkalim, and it's a classic pirush when people learn, and you know, Yishalmi on Shkalim is part of the Daf Yomi cycle, so that's the one Yishalmi that people actually learn, and Taklan Chadatin is a widely used sefer. So it seems that when he was putting out, here's the story, the way Rabbi Avram Eiger tells it. Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote this tshuva, Shalos Tshuvos Kuf Chaf Aleph, he wrote this tshuva to the Rav of Hasanput. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, who was a Ben Dairi, he lived at the same time as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, was older, he was more than 10 years older than Rabbi Akiva Eiger, they lived at the same time. He heard that this neighboring Rav, a Rav in Litta, got a letter, a tshuva, from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Wow, could you send me a copy? I want to see it. It was like an extraordinary event. This is before the tshuvas were published. This was in mealtime. He sent him a shaila. He got a tshuva. It was an exciting event that a tshuva came to their country from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner said, I want to see it. So he made a copy for him. The Rav of Hasanput made a copy and he sent it to Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner learned through the tshuva And he wrote some ha'aras on the tshuva. He had, you know, it's a long tshuva. It goes through a lot of different inyanim, a lot of different sukkahs. B'chaim v'lajener, kedarkei shel teira. He had things to add, to take away, kashas, terutzim. He had things that he wanted to add. So he wrote this. And he was acquainted with one of Reb Kiv Eger's sons, Reb Shloime Eger. So he sent this to Reb Shloime Eger, and he said, if you don't mind, would you do me a favor? I would be very honored if you would show it to your father. That's what Reb Chaim v'lajener did. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, when he was putting out the Takna Chadaten, he, in his Hakdama, he wrote a Hakdama. And in the Hakdama, he was being Mesaper B'Shvachai of his Rebbe, the Gra. He was talking about the greatness of the Gra. And sort of by extension, he said, you know, the Gra's premier Talmud was Rabbi Chaim v'lajener, the most outstanding Talmud. And Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov is writing about the greatness of Rabbi Chaim v'lajener. And he says, you know how great he is? He says, everybody sends their shaylas to Reb Chaim v'lajener. Even the great Rabbi Kiva Eger sent a shayla to Reb Chaim v'lajener. And here it is. And he prints over there excerpts from the tshuva that Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote with the response of Reb Chaim v'lajener. And he presents it as if Rabbi Kiva Eger had sent this to Reb Chaim v'lajener. And Rabbi Avraham Eger said that, he calls it a lie, he uses that word. He says it's totally not true. That's not what happened. And not only that, but Chaim v'lajener, after the Takan Chadaten was published, and Chaim v'lajener saw what was written there, he was embarrassed and he was beside himself. And he sent a letter to my father, he writes over there, crying with anava and being mevakish mechila, and distancing himself from the Maisa, saying, I had nothing to do with that, I didn't know about it, and Chas v'Shalom, and, you know, I'm sorry that there was any such implication, and Chas v'Shalom, it's not Lefi Kvaitcha, and being Mavakish Mechila from Rabbi Kiva Eger. In addition to that letter, he sent a letter to Rabbi Shloime Eger, saying that you have to go to your father, convey my apologies, and I'm not going to rest until you come back to me with a message that he was Meichel me, that Rabbi Kiva Eger was Meichel Rabbi Chaim v'Lajener. And then he says, so my brother Shlomo went to her father, and he shrugged his shoulders and said, yeah, he didn't care, whatever, it's all the same to him, no problem, you tell him not to worry about it. That was the Maisa. And he says, but I'm writing this because people see in the Takan Chadaten, and you know, that he presents a certain way, and it's not at all true. That's what it says in the, this is in the Shalos HaShuvos of Rabbi Veger, after Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph, you see this story. Now, I did a little more research. I shouldn't say I did research. I just looked up. And in the newest Rabbi Kiva Eger is this Yidden in Lakewood, Rav Yaakov Moshe Shurkin. I think we've mentioned this before. He put out an edition, he started to put out an edition of the Shalos HaShuvos Rabbi Kiva Eger with very extensive notes. Explanatory notes and notes bringing additional raid and Maror Mekayimos. And I wanted to see if he had anything. I mean, most of it is on Lumnus. I mean, the Shulis of Rabbi Kiva are all Lumnus. But over here, there's a little piece of history. I wanted to see what he had on this. And sure enough, he didn't let me down. He did the research. And he said that, you know, you read this, and it looks like, you know, it looks pretty bad for Rabbi Shlomo Mishklov. I mean, that looks like he was really misrepresenting. But he says, I'm convinced that it was an innocent mistake. He didn't know the whole backstory. He saw one document, and that was Rabbi Chaim v'lajener's response to Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuva. So he assumed that Rabbi Kiva Eger sent it to him, and he wrote a response. Why am I convinced that it was an innocent mistake? Because if you open a Takan Chadaten, and this I did, and I was very confused. I wanted to see this for myself. I opened the Takan Chadaten, and it's not there. He does talk about, you know, he has a Hakdama. He talks about his Rebbe, the Gra. And then he talks about Reb Chaim v'lajener, but there's nothing there about getting tshuvas for shailas from Rabbi Kiva Eger or from anybody else for that matter. What happened? So Rav Shurkin says that it was only in the first edition, and when it was reprinted, when the Takan Chadaten was reprinted, this was taken out. So why was it taken out? Obviously, because it was just an innocent mistake, and once it was brought to his attention that it was a mistake, so he felt bad and he took it away. So he ends, you know. So he says, "Avada kulam ahuvim kulam berurim kulam nisim reshus zelazeh," and Rav Shlomo Mishklov never meant to do anything wrong. So that's, I guess, you can call the happy ending of the story. But one takeaway, what I found the most fascinating from this is because, to me, this was a real maramaka, something I've wondered about. I don't know if everybody wonders about these things, but I've wondered, was there a sense of hierarchy between these people? Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Chaim Volozhiner, they lived at the same time, but they were really very much in different batei medrash, you know, different parts of the... And Chaim Volozhiner was older.
You said he was a Talmud.
No, he was a Talmud. Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmud of the Gra. You know, and in our learning, we never really encounter them head-to-head. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you know, we learn all the time in Sugis and Lamdas. Chaim Volozhiner, there's a little bit of, you know, we have some tshuvas from him, but mostly we learn from Musar and Machshava. So we know that he was one of the G'dayli Hadar in an extraordinary level, you know, in Shas U'Paiskim, but that's not so much what we see from him. So it's hard to have any sense of how they were regarded via mayhem in terms of, you know, was one considered on a higher level than the other. But from this story, it seems clear to me that, yeah, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was considered, even though Rabbi Akiva Eiger was considerably younger, but it would have been a tremendous chiddush, like, wow, look at this, that even Rabbi Akiva Eiger sends a shayla to Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner if it was true. And in fact, it wasn't true, and so much so that it was embarrassing for Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner that it was even suggested. So I came away really amazed at the level of regard that, you know, the esteem in which Rabbi Akiva Eiger was held, that even Biyamov, he was so clearly viewed as the Gadol Hadar, even relative to Gedolim like this that were much older than him. Okay, that's the asterisk on Kuf Chaf Aleph.
What's the tshuva?
He did, he did. We do have some tshuvas from Rabbi Lechner. We have more tshuvas from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I don't know if the pshat is that Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner only wrote a few tshuvas or most of them got lost. We have a small number of tshuvas. In the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash, there's tshuvas from Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. So what was the tshuva about? So the actual tshuva was also a very fascinating story, which is, again, mostly not really related to our topic, but at the very end, he connects it to us. But the story was like this. There was a couple in town, and it was, the wife was a Giyaris. I don't know if she was a Giyaris. 15 years ago, she came to town with a little girl, with a 4 or 5-year-old daughter, and she said that she's a Giyaris. Now, nobody really remembers what the evidence was, but we always thought of her as a Giyaris. And she was married to somebody. Now she died. Her daughter is now, it's 15 years later, her daughter, who was 4 or 5 years old, now she's around 20. Her husband says he wants to marry the daughter. Now, so at first glance, you know, a wife dies, you want to marry the daughter, that's one of the arayas in the Torah, right? You can bas ishta, right? That's in the, you know, the list of leisigala aravasa, and you can't marry bas ishta. Of course, all right, nobody would marry their wife's daughter. But this was, his wife was a Giyaris. Gershon is Gaiar Kakot and Shanoel Adami. So her daughter is not really her daughter. She was Megayar after the daughter was born. The daughter was a few years old, was a little girl, and she was Megayar. So she loses all connections to her relatives. So it's not really a daughter. That's the Raisa. Midra Banan, is it also Mutter? That's a Machalikis Vishainim. According to the Rambam, it's Mutter. According to the Rosh, it's Aser. So this would make it a little bit controversial, but he had a leg to stand on. He wanted to marry this girl, and it's a machlekes v'shenim whether there's an issur drabanan. That would be the opening phase of the shaila.
But the girl is still a kai.
So the problem now, what about the girl? So the mother had said...
She was not Megayar?
No. The mother had said that the girl wasn't Megayar, even though, why not? I mean, when the mother was going to be Megayar and she had a little girl, why wasn't she Megayar with her? So she said that she'll go to the mikveh when she's older. And it seems, and from the end of the tshuva in particular, it seems this way, that this was a narishkeit, but there was a notion that they had in their head that little girls don't belong in a mikvah. You go to a mikvah when you're ready to get married. So she was being megayer. She had a little girl. She's also going to be megayer. She was living her whole life as a Jew. The girl was shemitah teira mitzvahs. Sort of. We'll see that. We'll see in a moment. Except for maybe Arias also. But but that happens to firm people also. Yeah. She was officially a firm girl, right? Officially, she was a firm girl. And but she didn't go to the mikveh yet. This is what her mother had said. She's going to go to the mikveh when she's older, when she's ready to get married. So now, so that means that officially, she, right, that means that she's really not Jewish. Even though she was living as a frum girl, she's not Jewish. Right. Now, I say she wasn't so frum. The rumor in the street was that even while the mother was alive, this was a sick house over there, and the husband and the daughter had something going on between the two of them. There was the rumor on the street. Okay, it's just a rumor. But there's a mission in Yevamos that says that if there's a rumor about a man that he was mezana with a guy, with a non-Jewish woman, and then that woman goes in as a megayer, he's not allowed to marry her. Because that looks very bad. He was having... If somebody, if there's a rumor that some hanitan al hakusis, somebody that there's a rumor, obviously some kind of credible rumor, that he was having relations with a non-Jewish woman, then right, Baveira, because she's not Jewish, so then even she's okay, I'll be Megayer, now we'll get married, so that it gives more credence to the rumor and it looks very bad. So Chazal said you're not allowed. So the Rav said, so now, one second, if she wasn't Jewish, so he's a nitan al, and the rumor on the street was that they were having relations. So he's nitan al akusis, so she'll go and be megayer now, and then he's going to have that isser of nitan al akusis also to him. So manushach, if she was Jewish all along, in which case you wouldn't have this isser of nitan al akusis, but then it's a bas ishtai, then it's a real erva deraisa. If she was a guy, so then you have this Issa Drabbanon of Nitan al Akusis.
It's not Basishta.
It's not Basishta.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
They didn't have the girl.
Where's the evidence that she's a Geiris? Everyone always thought she was a Geiris. That's one of the issues over here. We have to go back and examine the evidence because here we want to rely on Lakula. Meaning you have, if a family moves into town and the daughter, Chazal called, is Krucha Achareha, she looks like a real daughter. So even though you don't know where they come from, you didn't check any birth certificates, we consider that a bas ishtai, and that's to marry one, and then marry the other would be considered gilui arayos, right? That's one of Chazal's examples of soiklan ala chazakos. We would give skila based on a chazaka, meaning we don't know that she's her daughter. You didn't see her come out of her womb, but if they look like a daughter, so we're soiklan ala chazakos. So this family came to town, and she looks like a daughter. So we would have to aser him to marry bas ishtai. Except, hold on one second, except that, well, allegedly they're gerim. So it's not a real bas ishtai. So we have to examine what's the evidence for that. That's one issue. Is there good enough evidence that she's really a geiris, in which case you won't have the isser bas ishtai, you might still have an isser drabbanon, but that, as we said, is machalik v'shainim.
He's also but, again?
No, he's Jewish. But if we're not sure that they're really gay, and they're really, if we're choshed for the tzad that they're Jewish, then you don't get to first base over here. Then for sure you can't marry her. If they're goyim, but she was also, but she remained a goy, then you have this other isser of a nitan al akusis. So the Rav of Hasan Pot said that there's no way this shidduch is going forward. He asked them. The man didn't want to take no for an answer. He really wanted to marry her. So he went to a second Rav. The second Rav looked at the evidence and he saw the same considerations and he also asked them. The man still didn't want to take no for an answer, so he went to the president. He went to the Rosh HaKol. In the second town, he went to the Rosh HaKol and he said, you got to help me. And it doesn't say over there in the tshuva, but I don't know, maybe he was rich, maybe he was well connected. He went to the Rosh HaKol and he said, you got to help me. The Rosh HaKol said, okay, there's a Rav in the third town. I can't help you with Rav number one or Rav number two. I can help you with Rav number three. I'm going to write you a letter. And he wrote a hamlatza in which he presented how we have this man here. He was married to a geiris. There are small, and now there's a 20-year-old. There are small children. It's a big mitzvah to allow him to allow this shirk to go through. So that there's someone to take care of the little children, and we're trying to find a heter, and it's a big. And he didn't write anything over there to this rav in the foreign city about how there were rumors about znus. He left that whole thing out. So it looked like it was just a shaila of a bas ishtai when they were gerim and gershon's gai kan shenil dami, which is a machlekes rishonim, and maybe all things being equal, you might want to be chayshish l'chumra. But here he's single, but it's a mitzvah rabbah because there's small children. So he got ahead to the third Rav, looked at this letter and said, oh, yeah, okay, mutulach, mutulach, mutulach.
Did you wonder why they came to him?
He should have. What can I tell you? Yeah. So he wrote...
Once, small children,
Right, there were small children, meaning in addition to the 20-year-old, there were also the little children. So that, right, that's why it was like a shasat chak that we have to allow the shidduch to go through, so that there's a woman in the house to take care of the children.
Once you get a psak, you can't go for another psak.
Right, right, right.
It was the least of his problems.
He was very for this guy that he wouldn't marry her with that bad.
Right, right, right.
He needed this?
Well, I think at that time it was more. Even today, if the Rabbanim say you can't, I'm saying, if you're going to do it anyway, you really have to run away, right? You can't stay within the Jewish community unless you got some kind of a heter.
What year did this happen?
This was, I don't know. This was late 1700s or early 1800s. I was interested in trying, there's no date on the tshuva. I was very interested because I wanted to know how old Rabbi Krieger was when this whole thing was happening with Chaim Volozhiner. I would say early 1800s.
I'm sorry, this tshuva went from who to who?
So the shaila is coming from the Rav of Hassanput. We're still working on the shaila. So he said that after all this happened, so he felt very upset. He can't just allow this to go on. But now he comes out looking like a big tzaddik. He, you know, because you'd think that there's a, you know, with the regular people, there'd be a little bit of ego involved. Here, he paskined, you know, in good faith, issued a reasonable psak. And then this person went behind his back to ask a different rabbi and then a third rabbi with a, you know, maybe some corruption going on. And now he has a heter, so it's like it's against my covet that this family should be living together. Mm-hmm. So I should have an interest in trying to usher them. The Rav of Hassanput said that I feel an achrayus not to let them, you know, not to allow them to stay together, but isser. On the other hand, not to break up a family, so I try to work harder to find a basis to be mad to them. So I sent detectives to go to the city, this is a fourth city, a different city, where she was originally Megayer. 15 years earlier, not where she was living mm-hmm. with her husband, but where mm-hmm. she was originally Megayer. Does anyone remember the Geiris? Can anyone tell me, could we establish more clearly about the Geiris and about whether the girl was Megayer? And it turned out that two people had a recollection, and according to their recollection, the girl was also Megayer. Now, if the girl was also Megayer, that solves all the problems. Because then you don't have, meaning they're both Geir, so you have Geir Shemus Gayer Kanshan, I mean, you don't have the Nitan Alakusis. So maybe then we could be Matyar. And then after he did all that work, he sent the Shalat to Rabbi Kivager. Is there a basis now? I'll pee these Aiden to be Matyar them. So it's beautiful that he was coming at this point to be Matyar them. But. What?
The Bas
Ishtai? Yeah.
If they're Jewish, there's a Bas Ishtai. Yeah. But now we have some Eidos that they were Megayer, two people from the first city that remember there was such a Maisa. But the Eidos is like a little bit wishy washy.
She remains
a
Bas Ishtai.
What?
Then
they were
Mazana
as a Jew. She's also a Boyle.
No. Isha in Asia's Ish. Asia's Ish has an Isha Leboyle, but not. This is.
It's a newborn.
So there's four sugyas going on in this tshuva. Rabbi Kivager in responding, so he's dealing with the sugya of Gershon Skyakot and Shanil Dami, that machlek is Rosh on the Rambam about whether there's an Issa Drabbanan.
And these guys could be
Edom? Dealing, what?
These Edom from the other town.
The Yidden. But their Edis wasn't so strong. It was more like we remember there was such a story, we don't know what her name was. Yeah, the dates match up. Could we assume then that their recollection is about this family? So there's the best, the Gershon Skyakot sugya, the Ishu Bita Sugya, then there's the Sugya of Eidos, of, you know, this, whether this testimony was strong enough, and then there's the fourth Sugya of Kvod HaRav, Zilusa de Medina. Like Rabbi Kivager considers, you know, maybe there's a basis over here, B'diyevet to be Matir, but you call this B'diyevet? He asked the Shaila, he got an answer. So he shouldn't have married her. Mm-hmm. Then he went and married her. But Isser, do you call that B'dieved? That's also one of the, that's the fourth inyan that gets discussed. Mm-hmm. But after it all, Rabbi Kivager says that B'doichik, I could come up maybe with a way to be matter them, but I'm not so confident in it. So I'm not going to be semi by myself, but if I'll have Shnei G'dayle Hadar, two more G'daylem, that will be maskim leheter, and he writes to the Rav of Hassanput, and if you'll sign on, you count as one, and then one more of the G'dayli Hadar, then we'll be matre. That was his response to the Shaila. Then in the last paragraph, and this is the part that's Negei Arshir, this whole thing was fascinating, so I'm sure you don't mind that we went through it. But then in the last paragraph he says, but you know, I'm very upset about this phenomenon that this family did, and he says, and other families also do it, that when a little girl is Megayer, they think they shouldn't go to the mikvah till they're older, because you don't bring a little girl to a mikvah. So yeah, that's what they did in this story, at least that's what the mother said they did. And the way he writes it over there, it seemed like it was a somewhat widespread phenomenon that women that worked as household help in a Jewish home, girls, I mean, you'd have like young girls or teenage girls that were working in a Jewish home, and they were becoming Jewish, and they would keep the mitzvahs al das that when they do a shidduch, they go to the mikvah. And Rabbi Baker says that all these people have to realize you're not allowed to do that because there's an aveira of yom v'leil lo yishbaisu akam shashavas chayav misa. So I would tell them go to the mikvah immediately. That's really what they should do. But if for some reason they have this mishigas in their head that they're not going to the mikvah, then they have to do a malacha every Shabbos. If you're working in a Jewish home and you're acting Jewish, but you're not officially Jewish, you have to do a malacha every Shabbos. Cook an egg, do something every Shabbos, light a fire, you have to do a malacha. That's what he writes at the end of the tshuva. It's not really negated to the whole complicated story over there, but just this detail of the story about what happened in that family. Rabbi Kivager says you should know when somebody does this, they have to do a malacha every Shabbos. And then that's the last paragraph. He signs his name. That's the end of the tshuva. Then there's a hashmata. Meaning something they added, he writes the tshuva, he sends it off, he kept a copy by himself. Years later, he went back to that tshuva, and he wrote on the bottom that, Achar zman rav yatzol ha'ar sefer panim chadashos. Sefer panim yafais. That many years later, the sefer panim yafais came out. Now, the sefer panim yafais was first published in 1824. So, you asked before, when was the tshuva written? There's no date on the tshuva. All I know is that 1824 was Achar zman rav. So, I don't know what we know based on that, but so anyway, Achar Zman Rav, the Sefer Panim Yafis came out, and I saw that he has a gevaldik achap that should change the din for these people. I said that if you're a non-Jew who's acting Jewish, you have to do malach every Shabbos, but according to that flaw, you really don't have to, because you just do malach on Matzah Shabbos, because he said that the Yom Leil Lo Yishbaisu means mi baiker ad baiker. So you do malach Erev Shabbos, you do malach Matzah Shabbos, so it should be good. So he said, I was prepared to be chayzer and say that for all those cleaning ladies that were in this situation, they want to keep Shabbos, they could keep Shabbos. So again, this was surprising that he was taking this Panim Yafis was talking about, you know, the Maisa Avais. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Kivager was applying in halacha l'maisa, and he was going to be matir for these cleaning ladies to keep Shabbos if they want to. But then he says, But then he gets slugged up because he brought in the Tosis in Sanhedrin. Tosis says that if the Yom Elai Lo Yishbaisu was Nemra V'loi Nishneis, so why is it for B'nai Noyach? It should be for Adrab, it should be for Yisrael. And Tosis gave an answer that it can't be for Yisrael, because Yisrael have a mitzvah of Shabbos. So therefore it must go beyond the B'nai Noyach. But the Panim Yafis asked that if his chiddush was right, then why can't they have both the mitzvah and the aveira? And then the Panim Yafis gave a teretz that from the phenomenon of Yom Kippur Shechal Liyas B'Matzah Shabbos, it's muchach, and there's a pasuk in the Torah that alludes to such a situation, and over there you can't be mekayim both Shabbos and Yom Leil Lo Yishbaisu. That's the basis how we know that Yom Leil Lo Yishbaisu is said for the B'nai Noyach. Dr. Biki Veger, that part of his shtickle doesn't work. Because Yom Kippur falling on Matzah Shabbos doesn't force you to violate the Yom Leil Lo Yishbaisu. You could still not do malacha. Sorry, he said the Panim Yafis wanted to say that the case where we can't be mekayim Yom Leil Lo Yishbaisu is keep falling after
but
Shabbos.
Factor
Rabbi Kivager, why can't you do a chatzis shir malacha on Shabbos and a chatzis shir malacha on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, and they won't be mitzdari of them because they're two different isurim. The shame isur is different. Isn't so the chatzis shir is. Yeah, but here we're talking all about Yidden, right? We're talking about, let's imagine that Yom V'Layla Yishbaisu was said to Klal Yisrael. How do you know? Right, Tosfos said, how do you know it's not said to Klal Yisrael? Tosfos says, because Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah of Shabbos. In fact, the Panim Yafais, but maybe they were both said to Klal Yisrael, but they have different zmanim. So the Panim Yafais said, no, it can't be, because what would we do when Matzah Shabbos falls out on, when Yom Kippur falls out on Matzah Shabbos? We're thinking now, hypothetically, if this was said to Klal Yisrael. So if it was said to Klal Yisrael, what's the raya that it's not Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, do Malacha, Chatzis Shir on Shabbos, Chatzis Shir on Yom Kippur, and it'll help for the L'Yayim V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu. On the Israel L'Yayim V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu, we were Mekayim, that we didn't go a whole biker without Malacha, because we did a Malacha. But it won't be, because the two will be mitzdarif in Hilchas Yom V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu. But they won't be mitzdarif in Hilchas Shabbos, because Shabbos only had a Chatzis Shir. They won't be mitzdarif in Hilchas Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur only had a Chatzis Shir. So from this chap, this scenario, he slugs up the whole Panim Yafais. Says therefore his shtickle doesn't work, because now he's right that Tosfos doesn't have a good teres to their kasha, and you're back to the problem of who says that Yom Kippur Yishmaisu wasn't said to Bnei Yisrael. Maybe it's said to Bnei Yisrael because it's really compatible with keeping Shabbos. So that slugs up the whole shtickle from the Panim Yafais. Oh, so Chatzis Shir. So you're right. I was makatzer. So it could be that the truth is Rabbi Yechanan says it about machalas asurit. Is it true also for malacha on Shabbos? Is the machalik as achareinu? But let's even suppose that you're right. The chatzis shir asmin atayre even by malacha on Shabbos, but only according to Rabbi Yechanan, not according to Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Kiveger, he speaks this out. He says, so my cheshbon is only muchach in Rish Lakish. It's not muchach in Rabbi Yechanan. So you might think, okay, well, we don't pass like Rish Lakish, so you could just dismiss this whole cheshbon. But Rabbi Kiveger says, but if I have a raya according to Rish Lakish, that Yom V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu was L'B'nei Noyach Nemrav, right, and not L'Yisrael, so that's not a machalik of Yechon and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish weren't arguing about who has the lav of Yom V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu. If according to Rish Lakish, it's, I'm sorry, the other way, if according to Rish Lakish, it would be possible that it was said L'Yisrael, so then L'Rabbi Yechon, it should also be possible that it was said L'Yisrael. Because they're arguing about Chatzis Shir Asa Menatera and Mut Menatera, they're not arguing about who is this or Yom V'Lai L'Lai Yishmaisu. So if I have a raya against the Panim Yafais as Chiddush, Aliba D'Rish Lakish, so me D'Rish Lakish Nishma L'Rabbi Yechanan, the raya is going to be L'Kuli Alma. So this slugs up the Panim Yafais. But and therefore, I go back to saying that the cleaning lady has to cook an egg on Shabbos. But she has to cook an egg on Shabbos, or turn on the light, or something. But Halacha L'Maisa. Rav Kiveger was going back and forth in this chiddush of the Panim Yafais. Mamash halacha lemaisa. It's extraordinary. Yeah. Now,
could be so far apart.
What?
In time, the two chatzis shiurim mitzdarif. If it's
yeah, there's a halacha of k'dei achilas pras, which is negeya to machalas asurites. What about chatzis shiurim by other isurim? So there's the mechaschinach. The mechaschinach talks about this. Mechas Chinuch brings a raya. Okay, it's really not earning. There's a raya from a Mishnah at the end of Perek Haboina that it will be mitzdarif even if they're far apart.
The girl in our house, when she promises something, she says bli neder.
Really? Okay. Now I want to add one more shtickle. The Indian. We started off with the statement of the Gemara in Yuma, that Avram Avinu the Kaim called her Kulash Lainenova Filu Erev Tavshilin. And everyone asks the Kasha, why did Chazal pick Erev Tavshilin of all things? Like, what's the significance of picking Erev Tavshilin? I'll pee this discussion that we were just having. So there's a Reb Chaim, there's something said over Shem Chaim that sounds a little bit like this. Maybe this is what he means. But there's a suggestion as follows. If Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and as we said, the Parshas Rachem, right, the Achronim, Claire, did he have a din of Bnei Noach? Did he not have a din of Bnei Noach? If he had a din of Bnei Noach, so he couldn't keep Shabbos, right? Except, you'd say, like the Panim Yafais, that he did Malach HaMatzah Shabbos. What if Matzah Shabbos was in Kippur? So that, like we said before, that's not a kasha on Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, he only lived 180 years, 175 years. Yom Kippur never fell out on Matzah Shabbos. No problem, right? And Yitzchak and Yaakov also, because that doesn't really happen. Yom Kippur never fell out on Matzah Shabbos. What about Yom Tov? What about Yom Tov falling out on Erev Shabbos? It's also the same problem, right? You have 48 hours of Kedusha if Yom Tov falls out, Samach Shabbos. So there you'll say, okay, but let's say if Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, so the Lo Yishpaisu of Shabbos is not a problem because on Friday it's Yom Tov, it's not Shabbos, so you could cook. So right, you're allowed to cook. So there's no Lo Yishpaisu of Shabbos. But wait, in the Rambam, when the Rambam brings down this halacha of Akum Shabbos, the Rambam says whether he keeps a Shabbos or he keeps a Yom Tov. So now, let's say the other way around. If Yom Tov falls out on Friday, so Avram Avinu has an Isser Lo Yishpaisu not to keep the Yom Tov on Friday. How's he going to get around that? He's got to do a malacha that's Usser on Yom Tov. Can't do it on Friday. Can't do it Friday night because then it's Shabbos. Whatever is Usser on Yom Tov is also Usser on Shabbos. So he's going to have to, if you're going to be Chayshesh, that Avram Avinu was really a Ben Noyach, and it was only L'chumra and, you know, like Misafik that he was keeping the mitzvah, but he really had a din of Ben Noyach, so then he could keep almost every mitzvah, almost every year, but he can't keep Yom Tov HaSamach HaShabbos. Then he's got to do a malacha. Chazal said, Avram Avinu and Mekayim called her Akulva Filu Erev Tavshilin, which is Negea only when Yom Tov falls out before Shabbos, to tell you that, not like this whole Shtickel Torah, that Avraham Avinu was trying to be Chayshish for the Isra of Ben Noyach. Avraham Avinu was a Yid. He was a Yisrael Gomer. He was a full-fledged Yisrael, and he kept the mitzvahs like a Yid keeps the mitzvahs. Therefore, he could keep not only 99% of the mitzvahs, but even Yom Tov HaSamach HaShabbos. So therefore, he was making an Erev Tavshilin. All right.